Let's talk about dance. Tanztheater calling.
Yes, hopefully.
I think it will. But I just have to turn out my phone and we have to get a bit ready. Because, you know, everybody, it was like a technician workshop here with Carsten, like figuring out which kind of microphone, and it took us ages. You know, Hannah, next time we get a schnapps or something with in between. I think that would be lovely. You know, it's hard work here. It's hard work. Christopher, great to have you here. I am delighted. Good to see you. How are you?
Nice to be here. I'm fine, thank you.
How was your day? Was it busy?
Yes, yeah, we are rehearsing with Rainer in the Opera House at the moment. We've been on stage for a week now, and we have one more week still.
And how's this in Corona time or in COVID time?
Right now, it's great. Of course, it's been a long, hard year with ups and downs. But at the moment, we're working in a group of around, I think we're 13 on stage, and there's probably another 10 people around, and we're tested twice a week.
Okay.
And in a way, it feels like, yeah, Corona's over. At least in work, we're in a bubble. We're inspired by each other, by the space. We can be close, and that's so, 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 so nice. Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's a breathing again, a bit, yeah. I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah, the last time was November.
Okay.
With Das Stück mit dem Schiff.
Yeah.
So it's been a while and it's really great.
But Christoph, we just jumped into the water. So maybe you can introduce yourself, where you come from, how long you're with the company.
So I'm Christopher Tandy. I'm from West Wales, from a very small town named Blaen Pennal, which I'm always so happy to get to name that town.
Do you get money from the touristic office, I reckon?
There's no touristic office.
Okay, good.
It's about 30 people living along a road where there's not so many cars passing.
But who's passing there?
Just the people who live there or who live in another tiny village nearby. Yeah, it's lots of fields and trees and sheep and farms, and it's very quiet. So I came all the way from there to here, and the journey was long. I'm 38 now. I studied in Laban in London for 3 years. Then I was a member of the National Dance Company of Wales for 4 years. It's a repertory company. And I moved to Amsterdam in 2009 and was living there for 10 years, working first of all with Dance Group Amsterdam. And then for 8 years, I was freelancing, working mostly between the Netherlands and the UK, but sometimes also in Germany, in New Zealand, in Malta. I traveled around a lot, and I joined the company here as a guest in September 2018, where I performed Rite of Spring, and I joined as a full-time company member in January 2019.
But would you say you're a choreographer or you're a dancer or you're both, or you just describe yourself as an artist? Because I think, and therefore I was asking you, because I think it's so interesting to, first of all, to come from a freelance or free structure again in an institution.
I mean, at the moment, if I were to put words to define my title, I would say I'm a dance artist at the moment, working as a performer, a dancer. But yeah, when I was freelancing, I was working mostly still as a dancer in a lot of collaborative projects. I was also working as a rehearsal director. I was restaging some pieces from a choreographer I worked with for 8 years called Ivan Perez, who's now the director of Dance Theatre Heidelberg. So I was teaching some of the pieces that I originally performed in. I was teaching them for him in other companies. I was also teaching a lot of classes. I developed my own technique, kind of. I mean, maybe technique is the wrong word, but like approach or a set of principles that I used in my classes. I was using improvisation, partnering, floor work. Yeah, I had certain principles that I was using in my classes. I also choreographed a few times. But somehow all those other things were supplementing my career as a dancer.
When you dance, I mean, you have to take not only like a lot of effort to practice this job, but also physically and, you know, and mentally, and to go through this process again. And do you have something which you all the time triggers? Is it just, Is it the moment being on stage, or is it something? Well, what is it now for you, let's say?
Yeah, well, it has changed. I could say that being a very shy child, becoming a performer was a way to get over myself. I went through a phase in my career where I was reading A New Earth from Eckhart Tolle. And he talks a lot about ego and about being in the moment and not identifying with form. And yeah, I think there was a period where I kind of used performance as a way to research freeing myself from my ego. At this point in my career, I feel like I've practiced for such a time that I see myself as a vessel for something else, you know? I don't approach performance thinking about myself. I focus on the theme or the energy or the character or a state of being. And I channel that through me, I would say.
It was interesting because I had a similar, not a similar discussion, but a similar approach also with Judy Shanahan in one of the talks before, where she's talking about her vulnerability. Because sometimes from an outsider, it's very interesting what you just said. First of all, that you were shy as a child, and then to really, you know, get in a different kind of exchange. When you're as a spectator, you think like, okay, they're on stage and they just want to show. Why did you have to overcome your ego?
If I explained the journey from being a young performer to where I am now, I would say I was very concerned with the idea of right and wrong. And if I would do something that I thought was wrong, I failed. And I would get very nervous before a show. And after a show, I would reflect on what I did and think about, yeah, what was good and what was bad. And that was kind of my early years in the National Dance Company of Wales. That was the way I was performing. And I was lucky enough over the last years before coming here as a freelancer to work with choreographers and makers who didn't have that way of looking at me. And I was doing more improvisation performance. And I made a journey towards another way of performing and seeing everything as being right in a way, and that it's more about how you deal with it than what's happening. My attention doesn't even go there anymore. There's something about performing where you just get to practice being in the moment, and I don't anymore make the separation between on and off stage. And I do still get nervous sometimes, but it's not in the same way. When I performed the Chili piece, we call it, Como el mosquito en la piedra, from Pina. That was a very stressful and short process to learn the role of Reiner. And it required a lot of focus. So I was more nervous about being able to deliver the focus that was required. But yeah, going back to this thing of not separating on and off stage, you know, if you're walking through your house from one room to the other and you trip over something, you just trip over it and then you carry on. And why would it be different when you're on stage? Of course, it's because people are watching you. But I can just react as I would react in my daily life. I don't have to separate performance and think, oh, well, that's not supposed to happen, you know.
It's just another focus.
Yeah.
Do you think in the process now you just was mentioning with Ryan, are you thinking about the solo you were dancing?
Well, in terms of movement language in the piece we're making at the moment, there's definitely a parallel. And I would also say there's a parallel in the process we're going through to make this piece than the process he would have gone through with the company to make his role in the Chili piece. But I'm not really thinking about the Chili piece when we're working. But there are parallels, yeah. I mean, we're working together to make the piece. So, for example, I have some solo material in this show that I can say is a mix of myself and Reiner. Some of the movement language is his and some of it is mine and some of it is both of ours. Some of it we made together. And I can connect some of that language to him in Chili Peas, but I think it's just him in general anyway.
Mm-hmm. When you would think about dance in general or as a development of contemporary dance at the moment, what do you think would be important or what did you wish for dance in a way, where it goes?
But what I would wish for contemporary dance, My personal wish would be that dance can expand the minds of its audiences, the minds, the hearts, the souls, the spirits, whatever, that there's some kind of growth in the spectator. I would wish more that than that people are just entertained. Although, you know, there's obviously space for entertainment in dance, and we have a huge entertainment sector in the world nowadays anyway.
How was your reaction or your remembrance when you were doing the role of Jan Minarek in Bluebeard? Now we're switching a lot, but I think that's like kind of a very exposed, you know, situation where you have this very strong contact in the role you're doing with the audience. How did you feel then, the moment? Because we had it before, because it's so much about, or you said it, to be in the moment or experience the moment. Was it violent?
That was an incredibly strong experience performing that role. Maybe one of the most interesting parts of it was being able to combine both this kind of practical focus, because there's certain things that need to happen, that you need to control the music, for example, or where exactly you need to be in space for the light, or what you've rehearsed in a certain grip with a lift with your partner. You know, there's this practical element, there's this, it's the mind, let's say. I have to concentrate and have some kind of mental reminders or whatever. And then there's the other side, which is the experiential side, the emotional side, the being in the moment, connecting to my partner, to the group, to the space, to the sound, to the floor, to memories. And for me, it was interesting to be able to do both those things at the same time, to be able to look at a counter and rewind something analog in a precise manner whilst staying in the zone of an emotional state. Or another example, like walking to Judith in the beginning of the piece, I have to listen to the music because I have a cue when I should go back to the music box. But at the same time, I'm channeling an energy between myself and her and the space and the audience, and channeling multiple energies. Even though when you talk about them, you have to say, well, this is my mind telling me I have to go back, and this is my body feeling an energy in the space. But my ideology of it is a united experience. It's not a separation.
But is it then like a network that you're thinking, okay, I'm feeling this energy, or I have to do this, and I have this obstacle I have to deal with, and you're linking then, or how can you describe it, or is it not that what you were thinking?
If I go back to Eckhart Tolle, you know, he talks about being in the moment, and that's like something that you have to just keep renewing, like in the moment, be in the moment, and then in the next moment, be again in the moment. And no matter what happens, you have to keep coming back to the moment. So as a practice, if I find myself thinking about something that's not relevant to the moment, I, in the moment, stop thinking about it. It's like flicking a switch. Uh-huh. It's just connecting back to the moment.
It's also such a big topos of dance or of performance, you know, to experience the moment, be in the moment, and get in relation with audiences. Actually, I have to ask you, what is the pleasure of being in the moment, of feeling the moment so intensively, like the quality of it? Is it the quality, or is it the kind of nowness, or is it feeling being in the body? Why do you think there is this need?
I could make a parallel with the spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself religious, but yeah, I think there's lots of spiritual practices which would draw the same kind of parallel. And I think that that's in a way also my job, because that's what I want to offer the audience. I think that I'm a mirror for them, and if I can be in the moment, then they can be in the moment too. You know, I think the audience perceive what is in front of them, and if I'm in my mind, then they will see that. They will experience that.
So as a spectator, you also have this kind of to experience a kind of dialogue, or to suddenly share something together. I think it's all the time also a way to get there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why I think I'm still attracted to performing, because in the moment of performance, I see it for myself as something that's required of me in that moment. And sometimes when I'm laying in bed or I'm on the train going to work, it's not required of me to be in the moment. Like, I can be thinking about something that's not relevant in the moment. I'm not like constantly walking through my life, looking at the color of the vehicles that are passing me or no. connecting to the words or the eye color or whatever. I don't know. You know, like, I'm not constantly connecting to the moment, but I think that's why I'm attracted to performing.
No, but I think the great thing is with being on stage that you have this framework. When you enter the stage, you know, okay, this is the frame, and in this frame, it's allowed that at least everybody is watching you, you know, or you have the context. Yeah. Where you're also the one who can experience the moment and then create the dialogue or create a kind of...
an offering.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you now have this method of experience the moment, that it's something to be more and more expanded, or that you create a level and kind of sensitivity of time, space, etc., and then that's it. It's just to recall it or to create it.
Expanding the moment could be one of the ways of experiencing the moment, like stretching time or slowing down time in your experience, in your perception. I mean, that's also why performance is just so incredible, because it's a never-ending exploration. And every time I had performed a piece of repertoire is an opportunity to relive it and to have another experience, or, yeah, to be creative with what you're going through, to draw more attention to something that you didn't the previous time. I remember there's this one moment in Bluebeard where we're sitting in front of the music box and the women are around us kind of playing with our hair and our clothes. And I say "our" because there was a few mm-hmm. Bluebeards. And I was staring into space, and during one of the rehearsals, a really strong memory came to me. And every time I was in that moment in the piece, when we were getting back to that moment, I would always find a different memory that would come back to me in that moment. Yeah, it was really interesting what would rise to the surface in that moment.
Your journey can be completely different than the one the audience have. When do you know that there is a relation to the audience, that your journey or your experience, the moment, is reflected?
I mean, the moment that I would have certainty about that question would be receiving feedback from a spectator. Otherwise, I mm-hmm. wouldn't assume to know what their experience was or how they experienced a performance, let alone my aspect in the performance, because I'm only anyway a small part of an overall. Yeah, I think feedback is the only way to certainly know what somebody else experienced, and perhaps having a certain feedback can validate what you strive for.
Are you ever doubting not being able to experience the moment?
Yeah, there's lots of times where I wish I was experiencing the moment more than I am. So if there's a moment in my personal life where I'm getting tangled in thought or expectations or judgments, I practice the same thing that I do when I'm on stage. I step away from that entanglement and I just try to be silent and rest in the moment. And there's a certain kind of relief in being able to do that, for sure.
And was it a development that you didn't have to produce, or to come back what you said in the beginning, to overcome the ego in the sense of what somebody could say is emptiness or silence?
Well, I'm still in a process with that practice. And yes, I've accomplished certain parts of that practice if I relate myself to the past. At the same time, if I relate myself to the past, then I have to relate myself to the future. And then I still have a lot to learn.
It's very interesting, I think, to figure out, also get different points of views in relation to how we experience performance or dance on stage.
You know, putting words onto an experience of performing is kind of a funny thing to do, in a way, because I'm saying all these things and I don't really know if what I'm saying is what I definitely do. You know, I'm putting words is an attempt, and a valuable and interesting and worthy attempt. Yeah, your ability to put words on something are different than your ability to do something else.
And therefore, I love that we had this discussion, because the title of the podcast is Let's Talk About Dance. And maybe there are things we can't talk about, but there are things we can talk about. And at least, you know, there's a further discussion about it. And I think that's interesting and that's worth it.
Yeah, and to share those words with listeners can expand their insight, possibly, hopefully. Actually, one of the things that I love about Pina's work is that I think, you know, she has managed, she's one of the few artists who managed to make work which can speak to the intuition of a spectator who's perhaps not able to speak in a cultured way about the art form. But at the same time, people who are or like to speak in a cultured way about the art form, there's content for them too. You know, she's really, her work is accessible to different ways of connecting to the work, be it through intuitive or an emotional journey for a spectator or for somebody who wants to talk about the content of the work afterwards.
What I found so fascinating that everybody goes on a journey in different ways, you know, and due to this talk, the notion of experience the moment will be maybe different when I see the next time Bluebeard. That's also then my extension, knowing about the extension of the moment. Christopher, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And this is the podcast about the moment. And that's the moment. Tschüss.
Danke schön.